Oh, wait, I didn't write a joke. Shit. I was like, wait, what do I say?
I was going to say, let's just start there. Like, let's just roll with that.
Yeah, fine. This is your Friday, May 30th Jumpcast. Something, something Mario Kart? I don't know. With me is Greg Jant and Robin Van Gilder.
Hello.
Hi, how you guys doing?
I'm doing good. Our Mike is graduating or something. I don't know. He told me he was going to be gone, so, like, whatever.
He's gone next week, too, right?
Yeah. And then you leave for 2 months after that.
Who needs him? We totally need to establish a talking behind the person's back while they're gone, because that's never going to come back to bite me in the ass.
I told him not to read Bleach, just because we're going to try that out and see what happens.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to miss anything.
Well, like, the thing, and I was thinking about that, because I know we had talked about that with me this summer, which I suppose we should mention. I'm going to be missing for a couple months this summer. What's it called? He won't be able to listen to the podcast.
No, he doesn't listen anyway.
Yeah. Oh, I thought he did the same thing I did, which is he listens when he's not on it. And then, yells at the radio for when people forget something obvious.
I think he does, usually.
Maybe that was before, but he successfully told me I don't listen anyway, so...
Okay.
So we'll see. Maybe he did replay, JP didn't. But before we get to that, you wanted to have some housekeeping.
We'll get more into this a little bit later, but we are going to be going a couple weeks without, you know, one of our most important One Piece things. The Ace is Dead Tumblr has stopped updating.
I thought you were going to talk about Oda, but that's way more important.
I know. Ace is Dead is dead.
So, does that mean that Ace is coming back?
I think that might mean he's alive again. Dude just didn't know what to do.
Yeah, I went there to check because one of the running joke things that he had been doing was that, you know, the reason that Oda is constantly getting hospitalized is because he has lung cancer because he smokes so much, which Oda does smoke a lot.
Yeah, as we saw from that picture of his desk that one time.
Yeah, so I went to see if, you know, he was making some sort of joke about the current thing, and nope, the Tumblr is no longer updating. It apparently had not updated for a couple weeks previously, and now there is just kind of a, like, splash image, and that's it.
Maybe he just got tired of it.
Oh, I imagine so.
Oh, and also, Oda is out for 2 weeks to have surgery in his tonsils, I think?
Well, yeah. That's what I heard. That was on Manga Panda, but I thought that was what happened last year.
Apparently, there was some complication that got really bad, and he's just been sort of just, like, holding it off.
Oh, huh.
But the thing that got me is, you know, they're going and saying, this is totally planned and everything like that, but the last page of One Piece doesn't say One Piece will return in whatever issue, you know, like it normally does. Like, they can
it
say...
It does.
It does?
Yeah. Oh,
when I first read it, it didn't have that there.
Maybe the place you just scanned didn't have it yet, but it says that it'll be back at 30. So it says
there is a separate... Okay, because, like, the separate page thing that I saw in the place that I was looking looked like it was totally thrown together by the guys who made the scan, not the editorial staff.
Yeah, this one's signed by the editorial staff, so... But yeah, so Oda, apparently he had tonsil abscesses last year, and then this year he's like, okay, kind of have to get this dealt with. So One Piece is off for 2 weeks. At least it's only tonsil stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's nothing serious.
Because, like, the very first thing people said, like, Oda's been hospitalized, One Piece is on hiatus. Like, what? Huh?
Oh, no. But yeah, turns out it's something planned, so it's nothing to be worried about.
Yeah.
Hopefully this will give him a nice break, and then he won't have to take another break for another month or so.
Yeah, but it does explain why One Piece is on so sporadic for a while.
Yeah. He's been having those issues.
Yeah.
In other news, Stealth Symphony still way down at the bottom, so it's pretty much dead. And World Trigger gets the lead color next week with results of the character popularity poll.
Was that the big news they had?
Apparently, yeah. Like, so they announced that was the thing. So that there was something that was in there that, like, World Trigger has a center color this week to announce some sort of news, and as near as I can tell, the announcement is that they are going to have the results of the character polls this week.
I guess that's big news for your manga.
Yeah. That means you've made it, isn't it, when you have a character poll?
That means Jump cares about how to merchandise your thing.
Yep.
All right. Anything else?
I'm just honestly not really sure what the character poll is going to be like because I mean, as much as I enjoy the series, there's a whole lot of people.
Well,
I have
main character is going to be always number one, then hot girl.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's all character flaws.
I just meant
manga.
The rest of the strata. Like, oh. There's a whole lot of middle background characters that are kind of samey.
Well, they'll probably all get around the same number of votes then.
Yeah.
Marika is for some reason number 8.
All right, well, on to Bleach.
Sure, unless Robin, you had anything?
Nope, I haven't got anything.
All right, so Bleach.
So Ichigo's coming to save Kenpachi, who, you know, is super important, and if he dies, then they're going to lose the war.
Yes.
Yep. Okay, that's it for Bleach. What's up next?
Well, first Hatnati does a Raikiri on Ichigo and misses, and he grabs her and throws her into a building.
Yep, so, like, was noticing the beginning of this thing where he is totally taking out all of them right here without using his swords at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, all of the rest of them attack him and fail miserably.
They're all super impressed.
Yeah, this is a
standard. He was one of the war potentials. Remember that thing when there was, like, the 10 war potentials or whatever they are?
Oh.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. But yeah, this is like a standard shonen thing where the hero comes back after a power-up and he's just chumping all of the new enemies that were so strong. It's, you know, Goku coming back from the dead, basically.
So Nappa emerges really pissed off at Goku that he took him out so easily.
Yeah.
And this is a monumental moment for this entire arc. It is the first time one of the Quincy's is using a bow and arrow.
Yeah, holy shit, he remembered that they're supposed to be using bows.
I do love that her reveal of the bow and arrow was hitting the heart button on her hip. And then it's just, like, flying out.
It pops up and she does, like, a lightning lance arrow sort of thing, which was kind of cool. It's just that it was funny that, holy crap, they're actually using what the traditional Quincy weapon is supposed to be.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, he finally remembered what Quincy's are supposed to be.
And apparently this damages Ichigo just enough to remove his, like, Romani clothes.
Yeah. So, or he just, you know, tossed them off and otherwise wasn't fazed.
He threw off his hard to draw outfit.
You can see kind of like burning away there, yeah.
Yeah, he got rid of his hard to draw outfit and got his new outfit that he's actually going to use for fighting.
Yeah, and so this new outfit, I'm assuming the X is supposed to be some sort of throwback to the welcome to your execution thing, right? That's totally what that's supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
Or Kubotita just likes X's.
Yeah.
That's what you skipped, Imran.
I mean, it does look cool. That's what I figured it was. I don't know.
So he removes his swords, and all the hot Nazis begin to start their attack on him by using their own arrows.
Juha Bak steps out.
And he says, "So you finally come, Kurosaki Ichigo." Which, okay, so here's what bothers me about this chapter. Why are we supposed to perceive this as such a huge threat when we've had, like, one chapter, maybe two, of these Nazis being so powerful? Like, the reason it worked in Dragon Ball is because you had a really decent build-up of the fact that it was totally hopeless for anyone to take on Nappa.
Yeah, but they beat up Kenpachi, and he's totally the toughest. I mean,
but they didn't beat up Kenpachi. They beat up, like, a super tired Kenpachi who did not have his sword.
You mean the Kenpachi who
but
already fought?
Else
what is
already so tired, and yeah.
Are they? Because it's been, like, a day.
Yeah, I don't know. None of this
and like,
makes any sense.
I mean,
it actively showed people like running toward Kenpachi to come help. And we have no idea that if they'd be any help or not. Like, I think Ruki and Byakuya could have stood a pretty decent chance.
Yeah, I mean, probably. It's just that everyone else is running around fighting their own Quincy battles right now.
I really don't know how you could believe that. I mean, they're not hot Nazis, and that just trumps everything, right?
Is the logic there that Ichigo is a hot Nazi?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. He does have that one built on his bankai. I mean,
he is half hot Nazi.
Yeah. It turns out that his mother was a hot Nazi. So, like, the one touch of this I liked was that they hit their hips with a heart button. That's it.
Make the bows pop out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just like that they were using bows. That's just hilarious to me after all this time.
It was the highlight of the chapter was that finally they were, you know, actually doing that.
And okay, so we got to talk about the
this better than Naruto this week.
The end stinger, I guess, with Juha Bak standing up there with Hashwald and Uryu and saying it is about to begin.
Yes.
And then there was that guy who
the
confronted.
Other stuff actually hasn't been going on.
Is this is the guy who confronted
Kurochichi?
Kurochichi, and then said, "Eh, forget it," and just left. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Like, I can only fight in the shadows, so I'm just gonna leave.
Yeah. Yeah. You
so
won. Whatever. I'm at.
He says out loud to no one. Well then, do I have a choice or not? So, I'm guessing he's there compulsory, or he's...
Will I be able to make a choice?
Yeah.
Or not?
So,
I mean, obviously he was, you know, actually talking to Uryu, right?
I guess?
Who is blood poison from Juha Bak. If, before we forget that.
Oh, yes.
I guess we forget that, yeah. I don't know.
I still like how that hasn't come up again. You can't leave, by the way. You drank his blood.
Yeah.
So, well, at first I thought it was Aizen, but then that didn't make any sense once I saw, like, the next panel.
Man, I can't wait for Aizen to show up again.
If he shows
up
again.
Turns out that this entire thing has just been a dream that Aizen was making everybody think, man, you thought that Quincy's were really actually powerful? Man, that's silly.
You know what would have been cool? If Ichigo came down not wearing the same clothes that he jumped down on, then it turns out it was Aizen making everyone think Ichigo was there and lose.
That would be great.
That would be like, funny.
That would have been a fantastic twist.
Yeah.
And only the reader would know it because they knew what Ichigo was wearing.
No,
it turns out it was actually him.
Attention.
He Goku'd in and then...
Man, it being Ichigo is just like the most disappointing thing it could have been.
Yeah.
I was really hoping it was going to be Yoruichi, but...
Oh. Who has disappeared and is clearly the sword, but for some reason...
Why
take
why,
like,
that's not... His, no, why would his sword Yoruichi, have a sword?
I don't know, but she disappeared, so there's only one possible explanation that Kubotite is avoiding like crazy.
Oh, God. That would be...
I mean, it's starting to make
sense. That would be so dumb, because this is Bleach, and it doesn't even really scale, or it doesn't even really matter at this point, but...
The Yataru thing made so much sense, like, 5 years ago.
Well, yeah, right up until the minute that she fucking pulled out her own sword and had her own...
But her own sword was, like, some weird, like, animal thing.
Yeah.
That wasn't really a sword or something like that.
Yeah, it was like she summoned weird monster things. I don't know.
But then, like, it didn't, you know, relate to what Kenpachi's actual sword was in the slightest. Like,
which
was
just a big sword.
His sword is just, or...
Yeah, his sword is just a huge sword, which is awesome because it's him. But
yeah, it fits with Kenpachi fine. It just, I wonder if like he's not decided whether or not the Yatru thing should happen, and he's just like
he's hedging his bets. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, eh, I'll decide that later. I've got like what 3 more years. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when we talk about later manga, I'm going to mention that like that feels way too rushed, but this manga feels like it's not rushed enough.
Well, yeah, because it was supposed to be ending. Remember when he took like a month off to figure out how to end it?
And like it was like, Kubotite will be back with the final battle, which all of us assumed it meant like the final battle, and literally a day in the show has or the manga has passed since then.
Well, obviously yeah. We're in the final battle then, right?
Like, in the sense that, like, you know, the shot heard around the world was the first and only battle of that war.
Well, no, because it wasn't even... Because, yeah, they fought the Quincy's at first and had their Bankai stolen. Remember that? And then the Quincy's left and came back, and then another battle started all since that break.
That was Final Battle Part 1, Subpart A.
Yeah.
Now we're in Final Battle X. Part 2.
Close enough.
No, I won't make that reference. But yeah. I refuse. Even Bleach doesn't deserve that.
All right. Let's go to Nisekoi?
Sure. Do we want to do the like extra chapter first?
We'll do that. It came out after this one, right? So
we'll
talk about...
It's technically chapter 122.
Oh, 122. Okay, so Fu's a lesbian.
Yeah, turns out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's and fine. She's into photography.
So, like, she has Haru posing in all these weird ways. Haru's like, isn't it really weird? You're making me do this. And she's like, haha, that's totally normal. Ha 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 ha, I'm going to keep these.
And then she gets a nosebleed.
Yep.
Yep.
The only thing that I got out of this, other than that, was the implication that maybe she'll have photographs from when they were kids or something like that.
Or she's going to, like, she'll have the only person that, like, has a picture of Raku and Onodera doing something.
That sounded a lot dirtier than you intended.
Something innocent.
Yeah.
Yeah, she'll have a...
But it's going to blow this Raku Chitoge thing
wide open. Like, him putting the photo into the locket or something.
So you think that the photograph that is going to be inside of his locket is going to have been taken by Fu?
Yeah, sure.
Somehow. It's wirelessly connected to her camera. via Bluetooth.
Oh,
so
yeah,
it turns out it's not actually a pendant at all, and the key is actually, like, looking for a specific type of USB drive that can,
Nisekoi photo hunt.
No, it's a memory card, and he has to find a really old card reader.
So, like, aside from the fact that Fu's a lesbian, what was the point of this subchapter? Just, like, cheesecake poses of Haru?
Well, pretty much. Yeah, pretty much.
I'm assuming that that was just, like, tossed in as an extra with some, one of the manga or something like that, or one of the, volumes.
Yeah,
probably.
That's what I figured.
Yeah.
Please like Haru.
So it's been long enough since there's been a Haru chapter that she's not annoying anymore. So
you say that, and it's going to be the next one. You know it.
Yeah, you've summoned it.
Next one's going to be Tachibana. That's what I'm going to put my my money on.
Somewhere, Wai-san from Chiba Prefecture is pumping his fist in victory. Hopefully, in victory.
All right, so,
remember how Onodera was questioned about her life plans in the career chapter? And she had no idea?
This is suddenly troubling her.
Yep.
She still has no idea.
Because she had never thought about it before now. So I wonder what my dreams for the future are.
So, like Onodera, she asks other people what her dreams are. And Miyamoto's like, why the hell are you asking me?
That's the sort of stuff that you should figure out yourself.
And there's, like, a pretty long thing where Miyamoto describes why she wants to be a translator, where, like, 12-year-old Miyamoto translated a book on her own and then saw people were, like, translating it incorrectly. It's like, I
got mad and said, okay, I'm going to do it better than that.
So how much of this is the mangaka soapboxing?
yeah, probably.
Because it's, like, a page of this.
Yeah, I'm assuming that there is a little bit of that in there, yes.
It's like, why are you people scanlating my manga? Let me release it in America.
Well, no. Like, it's the opposite. She was saying, like, the official Japanese translation, and the official Japanese translation was terrible. Like, so the official one was wrong.
Yeah. So is there something super wrong with Nisekoi's official translation?
I don't know.
I don't know. I guess we'll never know, huh?
Imran, I guess you're just going to have to buy all of the volumes and then compare them.
Well, that's in Shonen Jump Alpha.
That's your assignment for us.
No. Yep. as cheesecake as some of those covers could be, I don't think I can willfully...
You'll want them in your house?
Yeah.
All right, we'll have to get Mike to take care of that for us.
Yeah.
I don't think I keep any physical manga in my house anymore.
I have a few on a bookshelf somewhere, but...
Like, I have, like, all of Sayonara Zetsubou Sensei, and that's pretty much it. Maybe
like
some Dragon
all
Ball.
Of Full Metal Alchemist, Berserk.
I have
One Piece.
I have all of Akira. And a bunch of Owen Buddha and a bunch of Osamu Tezuka stuff. But
I think it'd be cool to keep like actual Shonen Jumps, but like not many of them. Maybe like 5.
Yeah, that would take up a whole shelf.
But you see, like with the Shonen Jump ones, then you're getting a whole bunch of stuff that I wouldn't care about with your.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be to read. It would be hey, this is cool.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway. What were we talking about?
Miyamoto continues describing her translation philosophy and ideology, and Onodera is like, wow, that's so awesome.
Wow, she actually has a goal in life.
Yes, yeah. And she gives advice, like, the only one who can figure it out for yourself is you. So then Onodera goes, oh, you're right.
I should go ask someone else.
So the next panel is, like, Sugumi and her walking down the hall and, like, her asking Sugumi. But the way this panel, like, so for us, the reader, we're supposed to immediately go, like, oh, well, since Sugumi's the next panel, we see her, like, as if we just came up and talked to her. But the only way for this to make sense is if Onodera just rushed up to her and immediately asked, what should I do in life?
Yeah.
True, yeah. Unless they were holding the conversation while she was walking behind her as opposed to next to her, and then, you know,
that's when Sugumi decided to stop and turn, yeah.
Yeah.
So I could reasonably believe Onodera is like, hey, Sugumi, what should I do?
And Sugumi is like, plans. I'm going to pull out a bunch of charts and graphs and figure something out.
I'm glad you asked.
And she happened to have all that, like, she made it right there.
Yeah, so it starts, you know, talking about all of her flaws and that sort of stuff.
She has one of those hex charts from
good communication skills. And then basically comes to the thing, you would be a good, like, receptionist. That should be your goal in life.
Or working with her family at the sweet shop.
Yep.
And Oda there takes this under advice, but is seemingly kind of depressed by the answer.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, but that makes it seem like somebody, like, my future's already been decided for me. Maybe I should stop asking other people what I should do and figure it out for myself. Then it won't feel like it's already been decided for me.
So then she asks Chitoge. Well, in fairness, she asks Chitoge what she's planning to do. I guess to crib ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I can do that too.
So I guess the job she imagines Chitoge doing are astronaut or corporate leader.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of like, you could do anything. And Chitoge basically says, you know, everybody has some sort of ability, so they should use it to the fullest. And you need to figure out what that ability is.
Because that's what her mom taught her.
Yep.
Her hyper career woman power mom. So Onodera is still lost and unsure what to do or think. So she goes to her secret thinking spot. And decides to just lay down there when she's thinking, well, what if I really want to do is, and oh my god, Raku, who also considered it his secret thinking spot.
Well, one of them told the other about it.
Yeah, but I guess they both went there, and they're both secretly happy that the other one, like, knows about it.
Yeah, she's like, oh man, the person who makes all of my decisions for me is here now, so he'll be able to figure it out.
Okay.
So Raku asks her, like, hey, why'd you come to this high school? And she can't tell him because it was because of him.
Yep.
So then begins the most awkward conversation in Nisekoi history.
It's like, oh, it was close to my house, but your second choice was, like, way closer.
Hey, shut up. Hey, yeah. That reminds me, why does Haru go to that school?
To be with her sister, I think.
Yeah.
That's
kind of sure
dumb.
Eh, that's less dumb than chasing after some boy that you've never talked to.
I guess.
Well, yeah.
Some boy that you can't remember ever having talked to.
Even though you were friends as a kid.
Yeah.
So, Raku tells her, hey, it doesn't actually matter if you decide this in, like, your second year of high school. Maybe you should, like, spend some time, go to university, work after that, which isn't bad advice.
Yeah.
Like, coming from Raku, it sounds like super, you know, I don't really care.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want.
Yeah, do whatever.
Like, why do you have to choose?
Also because, you know, like, we're seeing inside of his head and his entire thing is like, I have no idea what the heck I want to do. I just
like,
don't want to be, you know, a mafia Yakuza. Don.
Yeah. So Onodera asks, what do you want me to become? And Raku thinks, my wife? Which, it's good that he didn't say, because even if they both like each other, that's super fucking creepy.
Yeah. That is a super creepy thing to think.
But if he
was, like, saying it as a joke sort of thing, that is the sort of comment that you could totally get away with as a joke.
I need a professional dishwasher, so let's get married. But I'm ching.
It doesn't have to be realistic at all. And so then her unrealistic thing is, like, I want to be a bride.
So this is where it all falls apart for me. Like, everything about this chapter just falls apart right here. So she wants to know if she could, like, what would Ichigo, what would Raku think if she were somebody's bride? So, and then she says, somebody else's bride. And Raku's, like, crushed by this.
Well, of course, there's no way that she would want to be mine.
And then he says he'd be super jealous. And then he says, well, you'd be a great wife. Because you can find somebody that can cook. And then she resolves to become a good wife. That is her life plan right now.
God.
It's just depressing.
Yep.
It really is.
It's like every time they do anything with Onodera, it makes her less and less of a person. And more of like a Raku sock puppet.
She's becoming like a template.
She's becoming a wish fulfillment of people that do not actually exist.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much into this, but I feel like this is some sort of weird reaction to the Japanese cultural change of, like, women going, I'd rather have a career than a marriage and a family.
Well, yeah, I mean, like all harem manga, all the girls have to fit into some sort of trope of women, you know? So she is trying to become more like the sort of good housewife type.
Yeah, the one that's, like, becoming increasingly rare in Japan, so
yeah.
Obviously there are guys who are going to be into that idea of that traditional housewife. So he's positioning Onodera as that waifu, I guess.
But he already established that she can't cook, so now he has to sort of walk that back, I guess.
She needs to figure that out.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the thing was find a husband who can cook, which means Raku.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, whatever happened to Raku's dream of being a chef? Isn't that what he wants to do?
I think that he was like, it would be fun to open a store or something like that, but I don't think that he was necessarily like...
I think it's going to end up like him and Onodera open a restaurant or something at the end.
Yeah.
It really seems to be moving in that direction, yeah.
The lock and key. So yeah, she goes home and is like, I want to cook dinner. And her parents are like, no. Fuck that. You're terrible.
Mm-hmm. That's what they say. It's right there. Yep.
I like Onodera less and less.
Yeah.
It's just they're repeatedly ruining her character and doing it in ways that make me uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I like Nisei Koi less when it's just being a straight up harem romance manga like this, I guess, than when it's doing
silly things.
Well,
I like it better
when
it's progressing the story a little bit, but when it's doing this one-off, maintaining the status quo, there's not any real room for growth, and there's a lot of room for stunting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically the problem, is like, they establish these characters, and it's, like, we joke about the Raku universe theory, but it's increasingly becoming the fact that nobody can function without Raku. And that's boring from a storytelling perspective.
And it's
like,
sad from a humanity perspective.
Because, like, you're taking an ensemble cast and actively shrinking it down and making it more reductive. And that's terrible for your story.
Yep.
All right.
It really just needs to end it, I think.
He's not going it because I think with the anime, it's gotten a new boost of popularity. So I think he's going to ride this for a while.
Yeah, I guess
he's going to at least do it so it gets train. So they'll do a Nisekoi Part 2 or Nisekoi again! Exclamation mark tilde.
Yeah, I guess.
And then maybe he'll end it, but money is a terrible thing for people to turn down, I guess.
Yep.
All right, then on to Soma.
On to Soma.
So last time Ryo put out his dish, which was for the judges to judge, and it was violently good, I guess.
Yes,
violently good.
Violently delicious.
It had crazy impact.
Face-punchingly delicious, rather.
So Megumi has presented her ramen, and the judges try it. And it's like, yeah, this is pretty good, but she's never.
At it. They're like, oh, this looks, you know, pretty graceful. I just don't know if it'll end up, you know, standing up after that intense, you know, thing we just ate.
Yeah. And everyone just, you know, reaction shouting, and then he tries it, and it's amazing.
It has a really strong flavor.
It also has impact.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't refreshing and graceful. Which was, is, I liked that change, because we were all expecting it to also be, you know,
the opposite
of
his,
of the palate.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she grew up a tough sailor, so it kind of makes sense that her food is also, you know, strong.
Yeah. So, you know, mentions that it's a regional cuisine and starts describing everything that's in it, and the judges are, you know, going nuts for how strong everything tastes.
And they point out that, you know, she's always working on the veranda, so she has a pretty good knowledge of what vegetables can do.
Right, and her special move is drying things and then boiling them again, apparently.
I guess, I mean, food confuses me. Like, stuff cooks do to make things just have a minute difference in flavor, but it makes a huge difference to some people, is, like, crazy.
Yeah.
So, I guess, yeah.
Mentioned small, like, paste that can be put into it to make the taste even stronger, and, you know, that's, you know, makes the vegetables taste even, you know, better and that sort of stuff. And then,
so the judges love it, basically.
Yeah, and then, what's his name? It's failing me.
Ryo.
Ryo is kind of like, I want to have some too, you know, just comes up behind her and terrifies her, and, you know, she gives him a bowl of it, and he's surprised. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He likes it.
She's explaining, like, why this is so great, and that it creates a strong ramen with, like, very interesting and different ingredients than what Ryo does.
Yeah.
And so Ryo basically like acknowledges it and recognizes her. And the judges are like, well, yeah, maybe she's not a total failure. This is pretty good.
And then we get the best part of this chapter. He offers
her some of his ramen.
So we get Punk Ryo, or not Punk Ryo, Punk Megumi
as a reaction shot.
Yeah, of her being like just as violent and aggressive as Ryo is.
Yeah, it's a serious flavor match.
And then he gives her his ramen to try.
And she's almost fainting by how impactful it is.
And then they both summon their stands.
So do you want to explain this for us, Robin?
Yes.
Well, first of all, Mike wanted to insert a joke of, you thought it was going to be Soma, but it's me, Ryo.
Yes, okay, so basically this page is, well, these two pages really, are drawn in the style of a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Like, and incredibly accurately,
yes,
too.
Really accurately, especially Megumi's face there. That is, like, dead on Araki's style. But yeah, and these weird ghost things behind them are their stands, which are, like, psychic manifestations of their power or something. And so they always have, like, weird names, are named after music. Well, people are, too, but yeah. And then they do this sort of punching thing that they always do in JoJo, where Ryo is saying Ebi Ebi Ebi, and Megumi is saying Hota 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 Hota, and they're punching each other.
Yep.
And it's just great.
So the director finishes his and stands up and takes the brush and puts it down to the paper, and end chapter.
Yep.
I think Ryo won because he didn't weigh in on Megumi's at all.
I think Megumi
won. He weighed in on hers, just not a whole lot.
Did he? I don't think he did.
I don't think he did, but that's why I think she won.
But he like acknowledged it. But yeah, no, I'm sticking with where we were at. With I think that Ryo's gonna end up winning.
Yeah, Ryo's gonna win, but it's gonna be split.
Nah, I think Megumi won totally.
Well, I don't think that they're doing split. I think it's the director is the only one who matters.
Okay, yeah, that's what it seems to be.
I think Ryo won then.
Nah, no way.
I will note that Megumi did not get the director to strip.
That's true.
That's true. Yeah.
I think he's going to say he really enjoyed it, but it, like, she held back or was too timid in some way.
Nah, I don't think so. This is part of her character.
I have no idea what they're going to say, but yeah. I think Ryo's going to go on.
Megumi
is the secret protagonist. I think Megumi has done an amazing showing, if nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, if Soma didn't just win, I'd put it on Megumi.
Well, that's true, but I don't know. I don't think she's going to get knocked out this early.
Maybe. Soma's got to. And it would be weird for two people from Soma's dorm to win and two people from Alicia's group to lose? Irina? Whatever. No, it was Alicia.
Yeah, it's Alicia. Irina and Alicia are not friends.
Yeah. But I still just fucking love this JoJo page.
Yeah, it's so great. Oh, God.
I need to start watching that.
You do.
I need to
the new
watch
season
it
is great.
Or something. Yeah.
There's an ongoing anime that's happening right now. I think it's on Crunchyroll. You can watch it.
Apparently, it's super popular. Like, I was surprised how many people just talk about it constantly.
I like that its music is American music. I always like it when that's used appropriately.
Oh yeah, it's really great. They always have a different just song for the ending theme that's really appropriate.
But now,
and
it's especially
appropriate this year, let me just
say.
The
best example I can think of using a English-speaking band's song is Eden of the East, which had Oasis.
Did it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's really good.
Evangelion had Fly Me to the Moon, which kind of made sense.
Yeah, I always liked that. Good version of it.
Yeah, so I know Mike believed Megumi was going to win. What
I
about
believe
you, Robin?
Megumi is going to win. Yeah.
So we're pretty much split on that.
I guess so.
We'll see you next week.
Megumi's going down.
Yeah, it's got to be Ryo. So no matter who loses or wins or loses, there's always going to be that JoJo page.
Yeah.
Yes, there will.
All right.
All right, so... All right. On to the thing that we have been dreading this entire day.
So I didn't feel like 99% of this chapter, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it's mostly pretty great.
It's okay. There's some stuff in here, like, even in the good stuff that we have to talk about.
Okay.
So it starts with all the villages, or the four villages being shown, like, with the plant roots all over them and clearly kind of messed up.
Capturing everyone into their cocoons and stuff, yeah.
And then the chapter starts off with Sasuke basically telling Kakashi and Sakura
Sakura first asks, like, what's going on outside? And Sakura's like, why the fuck do you care? You're useless.
What would you do anyway?
Like, why do you need to know? I could have solved this way faster than if you had not, like, leaped at Madara like an idiot.
And then Kakashi's kind of like, yeah, you know, he's kind of right.
Yeah, well, come on.
Sasuke, you're in charge.
Yeah, you should tell what's going on. And Sasuke's like, Kakashi, you're the same as Sakura. You're completely useless. Just shut up.
It's like, wait, hold on now. Wait a second. Let's not say things we can't take back.
Yeah. And then Naruto calls Sasuke an asshole.
Which, in fairness, he's being a super asshole. But he's being a huge asshole.
Yeah.
I just like how, like, two chapters ago, it was like, Team 7's back, we're going to do teamwork, and now it's like, you guys are all worthless garbage.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Sasuke hasn't really changed that much, it turns out.
And yet still wants to be Hokage. I would love for Sasuke to be Hokage now. Like, Sakura, can you get me the reports and also then jump off a bridge, you piece of crap?
Yeah.
So anyway, he says basically everybody's in a dream, and then it cuts to, you know, jumping into some of the cocoons, and we see inside of their dreams.
Which is what I wanted. I think this is a cool thing to do.
But yes, like, if this had been the whole chapter.
Some of them are pretty.
The problem, like, all the dreams are super reductive.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so Hinata being with Naruto, and like, Neji's alive, and...
Yeah, and her sister is, you know, also having fun there, and that sort of thing. Yeah. That's cool. Like, that one is pretty much perfect if you're doing one panel, what they want to do there.
Right, and then Shikamaru, or no, not is
Kiba.
Kiba. Yeah, I always forget his name.
Kiba is the Hokage. Hokage.
Then it starts getting a little, like, a little too reductive, like, what's Shino's thing? I don't know, bugs? So
Shino wants to find a huge, awesome bug.
He's like, a new species. Awesome, I've found this new species. That's all I wanted in life.
And it's this giant, horrifying terror moth.
Which I think would be cool for Shino, but...
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah.
And Choji is getting to eat a whole lot and has found a chubby chaser.
Yep.
Yes. And his dad approves.
Uh-huh.
Did his dad die?
No.
I think he died in the fight against Pain and then came back to life.
Okay, but he didn't die with Shikamaru and Ino's father.
No.
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I don't think he died again.
So Shikamaru sees his parents arguing in his dream.
And also, what's it called? The
Asuma and Kurenai's being happy.
Yeah, being
and
happy.
And he's like, oh, marriage is just too obnoxious. Count me out of this. And Tamari's right there like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
so they just get to be snarky
together. That's his dream, is to have...
A baby out of wedlock, I guess.
No, his dream is to, to be on the sidelines with his friend just sort of commenting on things.
I assume that he was looking at the Asuma and Kurenai thing as like, that's what I prefer to emulate, instead of the arguing from his father.
Oh, yeah.
That marriage is too obnoxious.
Yeah, so he wants to do the thing where he just bangs his girlfriend.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, okay. I did not read that at all. I took that as him going, I don't want any relationship.
No,
see, because like,
I don't think
Asuma and Kurenai are happy, and I think he liked that relationship.
They are happy, but I'm sure that the kid is also a bit of a hassle or something like that, and that seems like too much effort for a person like Shikamaru.
They seem happy.
Anyway.
So, Ino's is like the most character dropping of anybody. that apparently she really wishes Sasuke, and for some reason, Sai?
Sasuke,
she like mentioned thinking he was hot at some point or something like that.
Yeah, probably.
Well, he is part of Team 7 too.
Yeah, so she wants there to be some sort of tryst where, you know, they're fighting over her, and her dad approves.
And then Lee wants to beat up, I guess that's Neji. I thought it was...
Yeah, it's Neji, because that's
Sasuke
been his rival. And...
Oh, right, that's right. That was that whole thing. Yeah, it beats up Neji and Naruto, and Sakura is in love with him, which, you know, sure.
Ten Tens is actually
a joke from the side manga where she is always having to make jokes about, or, you know, react to Lee and Guy doing dumb stuff.
Oh, she does that in Naruto too. But
but not as much. Yeah.
Her dream is that they finally realize that being cool is being an adult.
Yeah, and she doesn't have to react anymore, basically.
That is completely her dream, is that she doesn't have to react to Lee and Guy anymore.
She does.
Also,
like,
Neji's
the
there.
Saddest man. Dream ever.
Like, everyone kind of wishes Neji was still alive, but only to be, like, a partner in there. To observe how good their life is.
So then we get the popularity poll choice, where the Mizukage is getting married to her subordinate, who's not the subordinate that has a crush on her.
Yeah, that guy must feel so bad.
Yeah, that way.
I don't think that he's, like, able to see into these dreams.
We don't know that.
Oh, God.
I like the Tsunade's in the back, like, grimacing like an old lady.
I think that that's supposed to be, like, flowers dropping there or something like that. I don't think she's actually frowning.
I think it would be better if she was frowning, like, suck on that, Tsunade.
And then Tsunade's dream is to that her... the fourth is the Hokage again, and she just...
Oh, no.
No, I think that's her old boyfriend. Yeah.
Oh, that's...
Who also wanted to become the Hokage.
Yeah, he wanted to become Hokage, but that was pre-Yondaime.
Oh, okay.
That was before Minato became Hokage.
Yes. He also has Andora.
Her younger brother is alive, and Jiraiya is giving him dirty books. You know?
And Orochimaru is not evil.
Yeah, he's just kind of hanging out.
So what is it with Konoha women and the, like, their evil partners that they don't think are assholes?
I don't know. Although at least she kind of understands that he's evil now anyway. But...
Yeah.
Maybe back then he was, you know, only dabbling slightly in evil. He wasn't, like, totally evil back then.
He was pretty evil back then.
I mean, his name is Orochimaru. Was he ever not evil?
Remember when her brother died and he made jokes about it, like, at the crime scene?
I mean, yes. Even when he was a little kid, he, like, looked really creepy and had those snake eyes and shit.
Are
so.
You saying that people who look creepy are evil, Robin?
Well,
is that what you're saying?
No,
in
I'm
this
just
manga,
saying.
Yes. So Gaara's dream is that he had a family, or his family was still alive, and everyone was having
well,
fun.
Well, they were alive,
well,
and they
his
didn't
mom
want
is still
to kill
alive.
Him.
Yeah.
They didn't want to kill him all the time, and that Naruto was his friend.
Hey, remember Kangaroo? Remember how he was once a character?
Yeah. And, like, when I started seeing this one, I was kind of hoping that, like, Gaara's reaction would be kind of, like, I was hoping that this would be a sort of thing where he would realize, wait, this isn't right, and would start fighting against it, or something.
Well, yeah,
that
would have
been cool.
Because that would have been
that
a rip-off
really
of a really
cool.
That would have been a rip-off of a really good comic story, which was, for the man who has everything, you know, where Superman gets to see the, gets to imagine that he's back on Krypton, but things are wrong, and, you know, that would have been a great way to go. But...
Like, DC Comics does that every other month.
Yeah.
It's all usually pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that would have been so much better than what we got.
That might still happen, but before that, they needed to get in something really stupid.
It's so stupid.
So Naruto wants to know when they can get out of here, and Sasuke's like, well, it's just the moonlight, so I guess we just stay in here all night.
Well, yeah. You know, until, like, the light stopped shining or whatever it is. And then it stopped shining for no apparent reason.
Pretty much,
like,
immediately.
Yeah.
And Zetsu Obito is like, huh, I guess it just stopped. Not gonna explain that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Whatever.
Oh, well.
So,
you know, Naruto goes, Sasuke, how do we wake everyone up from the Genjutsu? And he says, well, you know, the Rinnegan's Genjutsu can probably be dispelled by the Rinnegan. So, you know, he's the only one who could save everybody.
Here's what I want. I want Sakura to be the only one that can save everybody and for, like, her to lord it over Sasuke.
That's totally not going to happen, though. I just wanted to take a moment to think about how, like, ridiculously far the whole I thing has come from where that was originally established.
Yeah. I mean, originally...
If you think back to how it originally was, which was, you know, it drained your energy to use... And with the Sharingan, it was, you can, you know, understand how a technique was done. And that's it.
And
right, Orochimaru Yakugan... wanted it just because he liked the jutsus, and it turned out to be, like, God's eye.
Yeah, it can do basically anything.
Yeah. And it's just, like, grown from there. And then it was like, and when it becomes really powerful, it can just become the Rinnegan. Because...
Right, and the Rinnegan is this other special eye that has all these crazy powers that they can
Yeah, which originally
imbue into
that
other
was you can,
and...
you know, give it to other people and be able to see through all of those eyes, which was cool too.
Yeah,
but
it's
then
like
that's
Rinnegan
become like
was cool. The Rinnegan was cool when it was like this one crazy power that Nagato had.
Yeah, and he was using it for like a super crazy thing that you know, nobody else could ever replicate. And then suddenly everybody had miniguns.
Yeah.
And like the entire thing where like each person was able to do ridiculous things with one of the different powers of the Sage of the Six Paths sort of thing. And they were all constantly cognizant of what was going on with the other one, so nobody was ever being able to be taken by surprise. And that was awesome.
Yeah.
And that was just kind of like, and now it's hypnotizing everybody, and the only thing that can break it is my hypnotizing everybody eye, which I got because reasons.
So before we go any further, I want to establish where we are right now in the manga, where Madara is clearly the big bad.
Right.
Zetsu Obito is helping him.
Uh-huh.
Then Naruto, Sasuke, Sakura, and Kakashi are all there ready to fight him, and they all have a plan of how to stop this eternal dream thing once they defeat Madara.
Kind of. Like, there's kind of sort of a plan.
Right.
Well, and
Sasuke
more...
is pretty sure, but I mean, that means it's basically going to work.
Yeah, it's Sasuke.
Yeah.
So Madara lands in front of them. It's like, oh, I think I'll kill you guys now.
And says, oh no, they're surrounded by four shadows again. They're going to fight. And then...
Well, Naruto starts the trusty, his best weapon, the talk no jutsu.
Oh, right. This is going to be a huge lie, and then we're going to, he's getting in the way of everyone's happiness, and he's all, oh no, I'm turning this hell into heaven, and he's going to, you know, enslave them too, and then...
Suddenly
Zetsu's fist goes through, yeah, Naruto's chest.
Yeah, he gets stabbed.
So this is not where it goes completely stupid yet.
Not quite yet, no.
Although,
so,
what we're seeing here is still kind of like, again? Because this kind of, you know, already happened with the whole Obito thing.
My initial thought was, oh, Obito must have had control as pretending to be Zetsu. That would have been pretty cool.
Yeah, me too.
That didn't occur to me, but that would have been pretty cool. That being said, I don't think Obito would have waited this long to do that.
Oh, yeah,
sure,
probably.
But I mean, if he was waiting for, like, a really good time.
Yeah, people wait around for no reason all the time in this manga. I mean,
like,
just look at
Naruto's
Sakura.
Talking.
Like, just look at Sakura not stabbing his eye out when she had all that time in the world.
Like, wouldn't have had to do this if it weren't for fucking Sakura.
God. Anyway,
like, Sasuke,
yeah.
Make sure to yell at her more later.
Yeah.
So Madara points out, like, Zetsu, you were created from my will. How could you actually betray me? Like, you cannot feasibly do that.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. But then Zetsu says, that's not true. My will is Kaguya.
And then everyone's like, what?
What?
What? And Kakashi's just kind of like, are they having a falling out? I don't... Who's Kaguya? What?
I don't get it. Who?
I didn't get to have the dream? So can someone explain to me?
Yeah.
Do ninjas do things?
And then they, you know, do the quick thing where the sage, you know... mentioned it to us, and then black veins are going all throughout Madara.
Yep.
Okay, and just to give some context here, okay, Kaguya was introduced in chapter 670, which was 8 chapters ago.
And my favorite thing was one of the first comments that somebody said after this chapter was like, oh man, people say it's so boring and predictable and stuff like that. Nobody predicted this, and the chapter Kaguya was introduced, we started making jokes that this would happen.
Yeah.
Jokes, but like, honest to God, jokes.
Because it's a funny joke.
Like, oh God, this is so stupid, let's make jokes about it.
I mean, okay, but here, I have a theory, because way back in that chapter... The Sage of Six Paths has a brother who basically helps him fight the Ten Tails, which was, you know, the evil tree thing.
Yeah.
And they split up the power and they each got some of it, and then his brother is never mentioned again.
Yeah.
In that
and
chapter.
The brother is totally going to be the person who had the Byakugan, and Hinata is going to save the day.
Yeah.
It would have been funny if it
well,
was,
no, that was
key, like Neji was the key.
Yeah. I mean, that would be great, and I would actually like that, but my theory...
Oh, well, my joke was that it was going to be that Hinata would replace Sakura and be on Team 7.
Everyone throws her parade, and Sakura just like...
Zetsu is actually the missing brother, is what I think, but I don't know. That might not make any sense.
I don't even, like, what is the villain plan at this point? Because they've already done the moon thing. it's feeding into the tree, so I guess they have to stop the tree from becoming the Ten-Tails again?
Well, they have to stop the tree from making another chakra fruit, which would make Kaguya or Zetsu or the other brother or whoever this actually is.
Well, I'm guessing it's because he's now stopping Madara from doing whatever he was going to do with the fruit and instead is going to bring Kaguya back.
Well, the thing is, I don't think Madara was actually going to make the fruit. He just wanted to get everyone into the dream world. That was his whole plan.
For what, though?
Because he didn't want everyone living in the real world, because life is hard.
I always assumed that was like a fake thing that he was telling Obito, but the actual thing is like, I'm going to rule the world.
Did he mention something where he would become God or something like that?
Right, because he has everyone in this dream world that he controls.
Well, no, I thought that there was specifically that he was going to unify everything in him again instead of in Kaguya.
Well, he told Naruto, so like, they go back to the quote that, like, he wanted the power to rival Kaguya's.
Right.
So I guess that, like, they're going to bring Kaguya back, but I don't know, like, no part of this is... It doesn't make any sense, and it's not thematically appropriate at all. Like, this just in random introduction of like, oh, by the way, Kaguya's the evil god is coming?
Yeah, basically evil ninja god.
This is basically the end of a Final Fantasy game.
Yeah, this is the end of a Final Fantasy game where the true villain comes out of nowhere. And it turns out that, like, this is the real villain and it's introduced right before the end and then they show up and betray the actual villain. Or something.
Yeah, I guess they... It's going to have to be that Naruto and Sasuke have to beat her.
Yeah.
I think what would be great is if they use Sakura as Kaguya's body. Why not?
Yeah, sure. That's the only way she's going to catch up at this point.
And Kachi's like, I can be useful too.
Well, you just want that to happen so that, you know, with Sakura dead, all the other ships align.
I like Sakura. I don't know why. But, like, as a character, I don't dislike her, and it's really kind of bummed me out that the way they've completely pushed her away since then.
Like, actively shit on her in the past few chapters.
Like I said, it was just kind of, you know, it's funny watching the, what's it called? It's funny going back and watching the English one that's coming out right now, because...
She's competent and, like...
Yeah.
They're going through efforts to make her
way back
the one interesting thing which is going on with her.
Yeah. God.
I don't know. Like that Kaguya reveal is like, I literally went, oh, come on.
Me too. It's like, oh, God. I didn't realize that it had been so recent, though. That's the craziest thing. That was 2 months
ago. It feels like that was a much longer ago.
Like, literally of every single character in this manga, she is the least appropriate one to be introduced as the main villain.
I would be happier if it was Orochimaru suddenly coming back.
I think Orochimaru makes thematic sense in a way.
Yeah.
He's
like his whole thing is like stealing powers and stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
He wanted to know every jutsu. That's what his thing was. But no, now he's like, I want to see what Sasuke does, because that's all that's important.
Yep. It turns out Sasuke's an asshole.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The other funny thing watching the English dub of Shippuden is that the voice actor for Ichigo is Satori, is it? The puppet guy?
Sasori.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, Ichigo is half puppet.
He's Johnny Young Bosch.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's in everything.
He has two voices. He has adult guy or young guy. And that's it.
Yeah.
But since everything in anime and video games requires adult guy or young guy, he's always in one of those things.
Yeah. He's one of those guys like Steve Bloom.
Yeah. Or Troy Baker.
Or Nolan North.
Or Cam Clark.
So anyway, so, on to One Piece.
All right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Where Dadan is currently trapped in the infinite Tsukuyomi and is ridiculous of all of her kids alive.
Well, there's Sabo and Luffy and Ace, and then for some reason Neji's there?
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Yeah. that's kind of a sad dream that she's remembering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of those kids is dead. Or is he? We don't have a Tumblr to confirm.
I think he's dead.
He's pretty dead.
I mean, do you have a Tumblr to link that can confirm this?
Unfortunately, no.
Well, then what do you, I mean, we have no idea.
We have no idea. It's unconfirmed.
So Pika's arm was destroyed by the, what do we call them, the Colosseum army?
Yeah, sure.
And like Luffy's kind of like, whoa, that was kind of neat, and just rushes through.
Yeah, starts running up the arm.
And the rest of the Colosseum is stopping all the Doflamingo soldiers and other bounty hunters that are trying to attack Luffy or trying to protect Pika in some way.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a decent payoff for the chapters and chapters and chapters of Colosseum introductions.
Oh, yeah,
I still
it's
think
great.
There was a little too many of them.
Yeah.
But
yeah, probably. Probably like, could have cut out like half of them, maybe.
Well, my main thing is they could have done the ones that were in Luffy's group.
Oh,
and that
yeah.
That would have been sufficient. Like,
yeah,
you
the
didn't
other
need
groups
to cover. Like, some of the people were already introduced in the other groups, like Cavendish and that sort of stuff. Were introduced for their groups, and that's cool.
Yeah, I guess just Oda really likes drawing crowd scenes and designing characters like that.
Yeah, maybe. Like there's not a whole lot of point for, say, Jeet and Abdul and Dr. Robotnik over here, because like I recognize their character designs, but I don't really know anything about them as characters, even though they were introduced.
Yeah, I think Jeet and Abdul are like wrestling references or something.
Yeah,
I remember hearing that.
Yeah, one's the Great Abdullah, I think. I don't remember what Jeet was.
Yeah.
So anyway, Jeet and Abdul are on Luffy's...
With
Uzi.
With him.
Yeah. And, like, they're also celebrating, like, woo, they're kicking Pika's ass.
Yeah.
And then there's this panel of Luffy like, hey,
wait,
who are
you
guys?
What are you guys doing here?
And then they introduce themselves very politely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then Luffy basically Shadow of the Colossus is... Pika at the moment.
Right.
Yep, just runs up his arm, taking the shortcut.
Yep.
And then Grizzly Magnum's Pika's giant statue head.
Yeah.
Which didn't really hurt him, because as we've just discovered, Pika is not actually the statue.
Right,
yeah,
like
yeah.
He's
not a Loki
in there sort of thing. Oh, and as a separate note, Abdullah and Jeet are apparently modeled after some like world wrestling fighting people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure one's Great Abdullah.
Okay.
Because that's a little too on the nose. I don't remember who Jeet is.
Yeah.
So they discover that the real Pika is inside the head.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
he basically just built the statue around him.
Yeah, it turns out that he doesn't seem to be a Logia. He's a Paramecia. He can control stone. He isn't made of stone.
Yeah.
He is a very, very strong Paramecia.
Yeah. Also, we get a pretty okay look at his face, and I'm pretty sure he does look like Mike Tyson.
Yeah, kinda.
That did not occur to me.
I think
anyway,
that's the actual joke.
Yeah, I mean, with the voice, yeah.
So he pulls out a giant katana and aims it for Uzi.
So we know who he's going to be fighting.
Yep.
Uzi.
So,
right
you know,
there.
Basically they, you know, Luffy gets down and makes Uzi jump over the sword.
Yeah, by picking Uzi up and jumping with him.
Yep.
And the best part of all of these panels is still Law just laying back, thinking about things.
Yep.
Thinking about how he got here.
Bad decisions.
On all of his choices.
So, yep. Pika takes another swing at Luffy, and Zoro steps off to clash swords with him.
Yep, and Luffy's just kind of like, we're going on ahead.
Zoro's like, all right.
Zoro's kind of like, okay, sounds good.
Zoro has the best line in the chapter of, our captain doesn't have any business with a pebble like you. You're going to have to make do with me.
You soprano bastard.
Soprano bastard.
And this pisses him off.
Yep.
So the big statue has stopped moving, so Cavendish decides that it's now their chance to run after Doflamingo.
Yeah. Take the shortcut.
Yep. Take the statue.
And Law decides, you know, maybe now is time to just fill Luffy in on backstory.
It's like, alright, fine.
Yeah,
I guess I'm
right.
along
for like,
the ride.
You know, two chapters, something like that.
He admits that his plan for killing Doflamingo was terrible.
Yeah.
Which it is, because, like... It all hinged on, like, A, Doflamingo not tricking anybody or lying to anyone, and B, Kido reacting exactly as Law thought he would.
Yeah.
And neither of those were particularly, like, likely.
Right. So he decides to fill him in on his tragic backstory. It turns out the
so
Law...
What you're saying is that Law is joining the crew?
I mean...
He's a part of the crew, anyway.
Yeah, pretty much.
Luffy decided it.
Yeah, Luffy said so.
Yeah. So Law had a mentor that was named Corazon. And he was one of the top executives of the Don Quixote family.
Yeah, Spanish for heart. Which, yeah. If you remember, he said Corazon before, and there was speculation that it would be Corazon, but...
Yeah.
And Law is part of the Heart Pirates, so...
Yeah.
Decent chance he inherited that.
Yeah.
So, the person who saved his life was... Turns out, Doflamingo had him killed. Mm-hmm. And it was actually Doflamingo's younger brother.
Yes.
And what's interesting is the face that they show in that one panel. If you remember back how Doflamingo, in one of the chapters where they showed what's his name's execution,
Ace.
Why am I blank? No.
we need a tumbler for this.
Yes. Gold Rogers execution.
Oh, yeah.
In one of the chapters where they went back and showed that, there was a person who looked kind of, but not really, like Doflamingo there, that had, like, a pointier chin and that sort of stuff. So I'm wondering if, like, that was actually the first reference to possibly a brother.
Oh. Hmm. Yeah.
Gold Roger, how long ago was that?
That was, like, Luffy
wasn't born yet, so 17
years.
Oh,
yeah. I guess
so Law would have to be super young.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Corazon could have, like, been separate from that, you know.
That's not when Corazon was killed.
Yeah.
I don't know how long, he said Corazon was killed how many years ago? They say that on that page, right?
13 years.
13, yeah.
Hmm.
Hmm.
I could buy it. I mean, Don Quixote's family is pretty high up there.
Yeah.
And it seems like Don Quixote, like, he just murdered everybody that got, like, kept him from being the top of the family.
Yeah, kept him. That's probably why.
Well, but, I mean, that was his younger brother, though. So yeah, but
yeah, but he said
I
he,
guess
he
did
used
kill
to be
his
at the top.
Too.
He used to be the top executive. Sure. Like he wasn't saying one of the top or like you know kind of high up in the family.
Well, I just assumed by executive he meant that was the four seats.
No, I think
the Don Quixote family is Don Quixote's people.
Right, Don Quixote. The brother would also be a Don Quixote.
Yeah, so he'd still be really high up in the family.
Yeah,
I am assuming that means that he was, you know, the heart seat or whatever it was.
I think it means he was the leader.
Yeah, I can totally see Don Quixote just murdering everyone who's above him.
I mean, but he killed his dad when he was really young. So,
yeah. Which he's not super old now. He's, what, 20s?
Well, yeah, because being in your 20s is super old by shonen standards.
So I could see him killing his younger brother when he was... Well, is he... Okay, so that's what's confusing.
I think that these guys are all older than you think, is what it is. Let's see if there is an age for...
I've always assumed he was like...
Doflamingo is currently 41.
Oh,
really?
Wow.
Huh. Yeah.
That's way older than I thought.
Yeah.
He was 39 at his debut, and he's 41 after the time skip. And there is actually references for these things.
That's crazy.
Okay, so one was a SBS. The first one was an SBS.
Super canon.
Fan question, what are the ages of the ages and heights of the Shishibukai?
Ah, yes. So what is Don Quixote's height?
Yeah.
Do we have that?
I'm curious what Boa Hancock's age is.
I'm not seeing like what the things are. Boa Hancock, I thought we already had an age for.
Did we?
Yeah. I thought that was established, like with what time they ran away and how many years ago that was and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And then it's basically just saying that the other one is 2 years past in the storyline. So yeah, he's currently 41.
I assumed he was like you know maybe Sanji's age.
Yeah, same here. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And his height is 10 feet.
Yep, sounds about right.
Well, he is a giant.
Yeah. Well, he's not a giant.
Giant,
he's
yeah.
He's just a very tall person.
I mean, there's decently... I thought there was some decent evidence that Tenryubito and giants were not that far off genealogically.
I don't know. Giants are seem pretty, like, standardized, sort of
there
thing.
There are some short giants and some really big giants.
There's some really tall people.
There's a wide scale of ages. Yeah.
Let's see. Boa Hancock is 31,
is 31
after the
and she's
time
6 foot. Three
she's kind of a creeper foot. Then.
Oh yeah,
yes,
no. she was
is.
Always a creeper. Because Luffy was 17 before the time skip, right?
Yeah.
She was 29 at the time.
Huh.
Yep, and she is 6 foot three and 1/4.
That seems kind of short for her, but I guess.
Yeah. So. I guess we're going to get full-on Law backstory next time. Well, in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess 2 chapters of flashback.
I don't know. I think it might be longer than that. Because I feel like this is going to be the flashback for the what, you know, Don Quixote's whole deal is, so... I don't think we're going to get a separate one for him.
We're going to discover he's super murderous. And
yeah. He's kind of an asshole.
He's been doing it since he was a kid. And it's going to incense Luffy enough to go kick his ass harder.
And in case you're curious about the rest of them, Mihawk is 43.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Jinbei is 46.
Yeah.
Crocodile is also 46. This is all post-time skip.
Oh, yeah.
Kuma is 47. Blackbeard is 40. Gecko Moria is 50. Boa Hancock is 31. And Law is currently 26.
So the Shichibukai were like a bunch of old white guys, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, Jinbei's blue.
Baby. Yeah.
And Law and Boa Hancock are the same height.
Have I told you guys how much I hate the official translation for Jinbei?
What, just with the
J-I-N-B-E?
Yeah, they confuse the M and the I. Or the M and the N, rather. So, you put an M for him in the American translation.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
That's dumb.
I thought that was actually spelled out when they're introduced in English.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is, and it's a pun as well, because he wears a Jinbei.
Yeah. That's so, like a piece of clothing, so.
Like, when I was playing One Piece Musou, like, he came to my team, it's like, they were clearly saying the word Jinbei, but for some reason they put an M there for the, like, English text.
Huh.
Okay.
So,
weird.
Then I looked it up, and it's actually, like, official, which is really dumb.
And Moria is the tallest of the Shichibukai at 22 feet 7 inches.
But he's not a giant.
No, he's not a giant.
Kuma
he's
comes in
very,
close
very
at
tall
feet
person.
6 inches.
He's just a very tall person. You know, those exist.
Totally.
Yeah. Orr's descendant wasn't very tall, right?
He was bigger than giants.
He was like Orr's the Little or something?
Yeah, he was Little Orr's.
He was Orr's Junior, I think.
Little Orr's Junior. That was his old title, I think.
He was taller than most giants, but as far as the super giants, he was super small.
Yeah, he was small for the ultra giant people that he was from.
So there's a lot of height variation.
Yeah. Yeah, Don Quixote is only 10 feet tall.
Man, he's a shrimp.
Yeah.
I'm guessing Pika is also, ridiculously tall.
Well, Pika himself isn't.
He's pretty tall.
Pretty tall, yeah.
Like, he has a giant katana.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
No assassination class
finished
from this
discussing
week.
All that stuff, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, S-Class wasn't out this week.
Yep.
Well, we only barely got it under the wire last time, so not surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we did get an explanation of what Karma's nickname was kind of like supposed to mean.
Oh yeah, it was that weird Chunin-byo thing.
Yeah, it was a
reference to that.
Basically, like when you're a second year, you think you're like the hottest shit and don't need to talk like take anybody's crap or listen to anyone.
Yeah.
And Karma's thing was like he's like that, but on a higher level. So that was the pun that had no chance of ever translating it without a giant explanation.
Yeah, it was a completely untranslatable pun, which, frankly, I'm always surprised there aren't more of those. They do a pretty good job with them.
Yeah. I think once you realize you have to Americanize your manga a little bit, then you stop doing them.
Yeah.
But that hasn't happened in a while, so. All right, let's wrap.
All right.
All right.
This has been your Friday, May 30th Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
We'll see you all next week.
Hang on. Don't give up hope yet. Maybe I can help you kids out a little. With my ninja info cards. With my ninja info cards. With my ninja info cards. With my ninja, 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 ninja. With my ninja info cards. With my ninja info cards.
What the heck are those?
Ninja info cards. With my ninja, ninja, ninja.
So I have a question for you, Imran.
So
something that came up as a topic of conversation. Do you think it is appropriate for cosplayers to wear something that is manga spoilers?
Like, what do you mean?
Like, there were some people who posted pictures of themselves who were going to cosplay, do a couple thing as Koala and Sabo.
I think it's kind of a dick move.
Yeah,
the anime is not there yet, but been feel like, over half a year in the manga.
I feel like if you're going to an anime convention, you kind of have to accept the fact that there's going to be people that are there at different levels than you.
Yeah, so. I don't know. Like, that's a pretty big one, I feel like. But at the same time, One Piece is something that I would feel like most people, if they're interested in it, are caught up on. But I don't know.
Like, when I went to AWA and I saw that guy who was dressed as a... God, I can't remember. The Ichigo's sword.
Oh, yeah. Zangetsu.
Zangetsu. And I was like, have you seen the recent chapters? He's like, no, I stopped reading after a while, but people have told me, like, while I'm here, that there's some things. It's like, well, I mean, if you're going to go dress as Zangetsu, you're going to get people telling you, if there was a big plot twist with that character, what they were saying.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would personally not do it, but yeah. Also you kind of have to go in knowing what to expect.
You should go around, you know, wearing like a big black box on your head. There's question marks on it. Or just don't tell people who you are.